This is Beyond the Divide, traversing the experiences in the world of disability. I'm Harrison Kirkwood, your host for this podcast series, produced by Singleton Council and proudly supported by the New South Wales State Government. My guest today is Kristen Miller. Kristen is a Singleton local, an archery enthusiast, a virtual reality gamer, a mother, a friend, and a community member. She's also a professional disability support worker. Kristen brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to her work as a disability support worker through not only her work, but her lived experience as a parent and sibling of children with disabilities. I'm looking forward to hearing Kristen's insights in today's episode. Hi, Kristen. How are you going this morning?
Hey, Harry. Really well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Great. Thanks for joining me on the program.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Kristen, your experience in life as a parent and sibling of children with disabilities and your work as a support worker put you in a great place to add perspectives to the support work industry and what makes good support worker, etc. What do you think does make a good support worker?
Someone who is naturally kind and helpful, I would suppose, and someone who likes to see others succeed. Someone who, is nice and humble and, giving.
What drew you to support work? Was it your lived experience?
Partly, yes. I started in aged care just slowly drifted over to disability support work. I was encouraged by my teacher whilst studying for aged care to pursue disability just because she knew that I had lived experience. And turns out I loved it so much more rewarding great opportunities.
Why would you encourage someone else to take on a career as a support worker?
I would say that the best thing about being a support worker is just the social aspect of it. Getting to meet new people and interact with people all the time is great. And hearing about adversity in people's lives and overcoming that, in the face of massive struggles or whatever people have come across related to their disability, I suppose, it's all learning and, really sort of heartwarming, a lot of heartwarming moments in support work, just seeing someone satisfied that they can have as much of an opportunity as another person, just a little bit of help is, really rewarding in itself.
Mm. Wow, that's some good insights there. So if there was someone interested in beginning a career as a support worker but feeling a bit uncertain or not sure where to start or how to get involved in the industry, what advice would you give that new support worker looking to begin a career?
I'm sure that there's plenty of opportunities to volunteer. I'm pretty sure there's no age restriction. I mean, if you have lived experience with disability, you've already taken up a bit of a support worker role, really. Myself, for example, growing up in a household with disabilities, get out there and meet people with disabilities. If there's anything stopping anyone from assisting, look at why perhaps you're hesitating to assist or I don't know. I think being a people person, if you're a people person, you will definitely have a good head start being a support worker. Yeah, I would say I think just the rewarding part of it. Just the seeing smiles on people's faces, knowing that you've done good for someone else is really, really good.
Yeah. What are some of the qualities that suit someone to being a support worker?
Having some emotional intelligence, I think, is something that you really could benefit to have. I think being a good listener is also a good thing to have. Just having empathy and consideration. Not afraid to ask questions or to make mistakes. Definitely, you can't do everything perfect the first time that you try it. But I mean, we're dealing with people, actual people in disability support. And if you've gotten to know people in your life before, it's very easy to get to know someone with a disability, even if you can't really relate to them so much. Yeah, just ask questions. Don't be afraid to make mistakes and listen.
Mm, good advice there.
Yeah.
And are there any challenges to being a support worker?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes when there's language barriers, if you've got a non-verbal person or someone who can't move or speak, I guess, that's a tricky one. Age differences. Sometimes there's a struggle with age differences. I find that, you know, it's easy to be a people person, but when the person you're supporting has a, I don't know, preference for age or sex or anything about a support worker, sometimes there can be a little bit of a, I wouldn't say conflict, but just some kind of barrier between you, I guess.
Something to negotiate.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay too. You like, you know, you don't have to be for everyone. Not everyone is for you.
No.
But that's yeah,
trial
I mean
and error.
Yeah, exactly. There's someone for everyone, or there's lots of different ways that a person can support someone else, that, you know, someone else can support them in other ways better than you can. But yeah, I think you know, conflicts come up here and there occasionally.
And communication's a big tool to help you work through some of those challenges.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean,
personal skills.
Yeah. Well, being able to communicate with someone is how the person tells you how they need to be supported. Mm. And, you know, occasionally you'll come across a client or their family and they have written out like a book on how to.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And you sort of flick over it, but you know that you just can't get the same information out of this book as you can from the person themselves.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. First-hand information is always the strongest asset,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, really? Definitely. Yeah, and I'll tell you a funny story. I cared for a lady who had a stroke, and so her speech was, I don't know, ailed, I would say. But she could still say some words, but she would stutter and get her words mixed up. And when she'd try and ask you a question, it would come out, maybe a couple of the words within the sentence would be exactly what she wanted to say, but other words would be make no sense at all. But the expression on her face sort of filled in those gaps for me.
Mm.
And so I could see like what she was saying,
I'd
have to interpret, and I'd go, did you just ask me blah, 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 blah? And then she'd say, yeah. Would she be like, no. And then, you know, several times I'd have to ask her like 5 or 6 times, is that what you just said? And she'd laugh and laugh and laugh because I was sitting there trying to understand what she was trying to say.
Yeah.
She knew that there was a, you know, obvious struggle there, but obviously she was amused by the fact that I was trying to interpret what she was saying just by watching her trying to get cues from her facial expressions.
I feel like that's probably a good example of open communication and not being afraid to ask respectful questions.
Absolutely.
Some people in that situation I would feel might feel uncomfortable or embarrassed that they haven't registered what the client was trying to say. So they feel uncomfortable about re-asking the question, so they don't ask a further question to clarify the information.
Yeah.
Or what the need is.
Exactly. And they just give up because they feel like they're failing a person, or they sort of just can't. They couldn't get there.
And they don't want to make the client feel bad.
That's right, yeah.
And they feel unsure about how the client will feel because they're not understanding what the client's saying.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's not like the client should be apologising for not being able to construct a sentence. But no, it's fine. I mean, we know what this person with a disability is dealing with. We shouldn't need to make apologies or you know, try and be too sensitive about it. It's like, this is the reality that we're living with. Let's see it for what it is.
Yes.
And let's not, you know, treat it as if it's a cancer diagnosis or something, you know? Like, I feel sometimes people sort of touchy about saying the wrong thing or having, yeah.
And some action's always better than no action, isn't it?
100%, yeah.
And actions, oh, sorry.
No, no,
actions that have good intentions, actions that are meant with the right purpose and welfare at heart are always okay, really. We all make mistakes, disability, no disability, disability support work, another industry at large.
Yeah.
And it's part of the journey and part of working to develop a better relationship and more clearer communication.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I say, you know, lots of patience is required sometimes. And so you've got to have patience and, give everything time.
So what are some of the models of disability support work? Where can you work? How can you work? And how to choose?
So I began support work, disability specific, with a home care organisation on the Central Coast. So I would go out to different people's homes throughout the day and come across many different needs, complex and not so complex, general domestic support, taking them out shopping to doctor's appointments. I was working with many different ages, men, women, and I find that working in their homes was a lot more comfortable, knowing that people were often in homes or in facilities to be cared for is quite sad. You feel like a person can be their best person when they're at home. Mm. So it was good to work with people in their homes. I, working in aged care, worked in facilities, and that was a bit more clinical. I've got a little bit of clinical experience. I've also worked with aged people with disability out and about in the community. Another place that I worked for, another disability support provider, had group homes, and they were great, more or less just like living in their own home independently, but just with support around the clock, different shifts, overnight support if they needed it, all doctor's appointments and everything booked for them, all around really supportive model. And I know that people will travel with their support workers. Yeah.
Is one model better than another in terms of starting out as a support worker from a learning and workplace support perspective?
For comfort, I think it might be better for someone to start off in like maybe a day program kind of situation where they can see a lot of different disability support being practiced, and have an opportunity to sort of just sit back and watch for a minute and just gain that little bit of comfort having someone else there to guide you, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, if you were a first-time support worker going for your first shift at someone's house on your own, you'd probably be a little bit nervous. Yeah.
And uncertain of what to expect and how to do things right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the more that people receive support, the better they also become at asking for it or receiving it. A lot of people I've met who recently or are newly diagnosed with a disability sort of a bit, this is happening to me, like this isn't my reality, these are my feelings sort of thing. If everyone's comfortable and considerate, things go really great no matter where you are.
And what do you hope for the future for the industry of support work at large? What would make a difference in your children's and siblings' lives, for example, who have disabilities?
I think just having more sources of support. Just generally, you know, people have their mum, their dad, their brothers, their sisters, their friends. But I mean, you know what your support worker can do for you, can help you with. I love to chit chat with the people that I support. I hope that there's more people who go out into the field of disability support. I hope that my children learn to receive support from different people. I would not wish for my son to feel like the only people that he can rely on are his mum and his dad and his grandparents. So, you know, I know he knows he can rely on his teachers, but, you know, someone else for a different perspective. But, I mean, support work is great. I mean, before support worker was a job title, people were doing it, you know. Yeah. It's everyone's always been helping each other.
It's come more formalized and
more
recognized as under the title support work, but we've all been helping each other in informal ways. Neighbors help neighbors, friends help friends, family helps family, things like that. Community supports community.
That's exactly
support
right.
Support work is maybe a bit more one-to-one, a bit more formalized, but still with a personal touch behind the professional relationship.
Yeah.
So has the combination of your family and work experiences shaped your perspective on life?
Yes. Yes, definitely. I think my perspective on life has changed. I think when you come out of this perspective of always seeing things from behind your eyes and what is my perspective of the world, and you learn other people's perspectives, hear some of the stories of people's lives, you really sort of think about how every person is amazing, unique perspectives through living the same life that you've lived. Well, not same life, but I mean, we're all in the same world.
Mm.
We're all in Singleton, but so many different people have so many different ways of seeing things. And, you know, especially people with disabilities, you know, you take a lot of things for granted sometimes. But then, well, one thing I still stand by today is that people with disabilities are by far the most compassionate, kind, loving, supportive, and just overall lovely people. I'm sure that there are better words to explain what I mean, but people who've, it just seems that something that they haven't got is filled up with an abundance of just this massive spirit. Yeah, it's something that you don't come across it every single day with able-bodied people, but something really, really special. And yeah, that is, yeah, it's huge. Can't really explain it to you.
When you don't
better.
Have in one area, you gain in another.
Yeah.
So they say.
Definitely. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And those lessons that you learn in life, those hardships and adversities probably instill those qualities of
there
faith
is good in the
humanity
world.
And faith in others. And
definitely.
The need to care for others and be a good citizen and human in the world.
Yeah.
Do good for society.
Yep, definitely. Everybody needs somebody, you know, even if you don't have a disability, everyone still needs that support. Yeah, and everyone needs someone to talk to.
And everyone needs someone.
Yep.
And something to live for. Live and somewhere to belong.
Yeah, agreed. I definitely love being a support worker and, yeah, want good things for all the people that I support.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Kristen. It's been fabulous in hearing your insights. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you future success with your support work endeavours, and I hope we've inspired some people to consider the career option.
I hope so too.